that you've gathered us around your word this morning. And I pray that as we listen and understand it, that you would build joy in our hearts and give us the true joy, which is the joy of the Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you ever visit an ancient city, one that's, you know, like over 1,000 years old, no matter where it is in the world, if you've been to their ruins, you'll notice that they always have two things in common. One, their foundations are always built on a hill. And two, the city is, or at least was, surrounded by a city wall. Because walls are a city's strength. In the ancient world, before things like radio and the internet, there was little warning of an enemy attack. And when a city was attacked, all the working age men had to both defend the women and the children and the elderly, as well as the city. And so a relatively small group of enemies working together could quite easily overrun a much larger settlement and reap havoc. Unless, that is, the city is protected by walls. In fact, a walled city with a good water source could withstand a vast army for months or for even years. Long enough for the army to run out of food or for allies to come and help. And in a sense, Nehemiah and his great project was to return Jerusalem to its former strength. And as we've seen over the last few weeks in our Nehemiah sermon series, because God's hand was on Nehemiah for good, Nehemiah has miraculously rallied the, you know, discouraged exiles in Judea. He stared down opposition from both within and without, and he successfully led the city in a marathon effort to rebuild the ruined walls of Jerusalem in just a few months. Everything we've covered in our sermon series has maybe spanned 4 or 5 months so far. And just a bit before our reading this morning, we see in chapter 6 that the walls have now been completed. I'll read some of it for you. It says, "So the wall was completed in the 25th day of the 6th month in 52 days. And when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and they lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God." So the walls of Jerusalem are now rebuilt, and thus the strength of the city has been restored, and Nehemiah has earned a well-deserved rest. But his mission is not yet complete. And today, in chapter 8, we really come to the climax of Nehemiah's story, which is not the refounding of the city's physical strength, but the refounding of the city's spiritual strength. So you remember that Jerusalem was originally destroyed over 100 years ago before Nehemiah, not because of military weakness and not because of defects in the walls or the city's defenses, but because God's people abandoned their spiritual foundation, which was the covenant that God had made with his chosen people, Israel. God's people broke God's law, God's people ignored God's word, and so God destroyed Jerusalem and sent Israel into exile. Now, of course, it's all coming back together by the grace of God, and as the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt on the physical hill on which the city stands, which is Mount Moriah, sometimes called Mount Zion, the spiritual restoration of the city rests on the refounding of its people upon God's word. And this is what we see happening in our reading today in chapter 8. And we see it happening through three very practical things. It's God's people, one, gathering around, two, listening to, and three, understanding God's word. Gathering around God's word, listening to God's word, understanding God's word. So we see in verse 1, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So Things are happening very quickly. It's just maybe 4 or 5 days after the walls were completed. And now all Jerusalem has gathered together as one man, no doubt very excited, for kind of a spiritual revival. But they haven't gathered in the temple or in the temple courtyards, which is at the top of Mount Zion. And, you know, that's probably where I would expect the spiritual rebuilding of Israel to happen. But where they've gathered is further down the hill, where in the city where the people live. And so they've gathered in a square in the middle of the city, and the center of their gathering is the Bible. And here in the story, we're reintroduced to Ezra the priest. If you read the whole book, remember Nehemiah's volume 2 of a 2-book volume, if you read both Ezra and Nehemiah, you remember Ezra. Ezra is Nehemiah's partner in the rebuilding project. Nehemiah's the governor of Jerusalem, and Ezra the priest is like their spiritual leader. You might call him their Wayne Schuller. And Ezra has brought out the book of the law of Moses, which is what we call the first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis through to Deuteronomy. And this is the focus of their gathering. This is what they're centered around as they come together. So firstly, to rebuild the spiritual foundations of the city, God's people gathered around God's word. Verse 3. Ezra read it aloud from daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. So Ezra reads to them for half the day. Hopefully my sermon won't go on quite as long. But he goes through Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And Israel is hearing God's word, perhaps the first time fully in generations. And the people, they're not just going through the motions, but they are listening attentively. They're listening to every word that Ezra reads out carefully. They're drinking deeply from the well of God's word. So secondly, we see that to rebuild the spiritual foundation of the city, God's people listened attentively to God's word. Then in verse 8, Ezra and the Levites assisting him. I'm glad I didn't have to read out all their names this morning. But Ezra and his assistants, they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. So Ezra and his assistants, they're also moving about the crowd, and basically they're preaching. They're preaching the Bible to the people, and they're helping God's word to really sink down into their hearts and into their minds. And thus, thirdly, to rebuild the spiritual foundations of the city, God's people sought to understand God's word. Now, this is another big moment in salvation history. There's several of them in Nehemiah, and this is another. In this great meeting in the middle of Jerusalem, it's like God's people are being spiritually rebuilt. The walls have been rebuilt on the foundation of Mount Zion, but now God's people are being rebuilt and restored upon their true foundation, which is the word of God. And if we pause for a moment and think about ourselves, what is it that your faith is built upon? Because the church, at least the church that has and will endure, it actually stands on the same foundations as those laid by Ezra and Nehemiah. 2 months ago, I was in Jerusalem, and I saw where all this took place. There we go. So this is modern day Jerusalem, and you can see here this is the Temple Mount, and sort of this area here is Mount Moriah / Mount Zion. There's the Mount of Olives, and that's the Kidron Valley. That's the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall. And it's an amazing place to see, but I went there kind of hoping to get some photos of, you know, Nehemiah's walls or something left of Nehemiah so I could use it in this sermon series. But nothing remains of what Nehemiah built. Nehemiah's walls, as great as they were, they went away long ago. They would have been sort of around this bit here, down the bottom, in the main part. And you know, even the temple is a ruin now. You know, with not one stone left upon another, just like Jesus prophesied. But still, in Jerusalem, to this day, what has endured is God's people gathering around, listening to, and seeking to understand God's word, just like they did with Ezra and Nehemiah. The highlight of my trip wasn't so much seeing all the old ruins, but it was gathering with Christians from all over the world and gathering around God's word and sharing fellowship and worshiping God and listening to his word with them. And indeed, Christians do this throughout the earth. Today's Sunday, there'll be church services on every continent, Christians gathering around God's word, listening to it, seeking to understand it, just like we're doing right now today. What we're doing right now, meeting to hear the Bible and to explain it and to understand it, is basically what Ezra and Nehemiah did with Jerusalem all those centuries ago. And that's a marvelous thought, isn't it? Nehemiah's walls, the focus of so much energy and work, you know, they served an important purpose in God's plan for a time, yet now they've come and gone. But God's word, the true foundation of God's people, has endured right up to this day, even among us right now at Berwick Anglican Church. So build your spiritual life on the solid foundation of the scriptures by gathering around, listening to, and understanding God's word. Because if you're building your faith upon anything else, you're building on a dodgy foundation. And buildings built on dodgy foundations fall over. But by coming together, week by week, at church, and listening prayerfully to God as you read the scriptures each day in your life, you will be building your faith on a foundation that will endure eternally. So God's word is the spiritual foundations. But what is the spiritual strength, or the spiritual walls, if you will, of the renewed Jerusalem? Well, after many years, generations of exile, God's people are finally back in the promised land. They're assembled around God's word. The walls of Jerusalem are rebuilt, and the reaction of the assembled crowds to this great day of triumph as Ezra the priest reads out God's law is maybe not what we would expect. You remember what happened in the reading? They wept. As Israel listens to Ezra read the Bible, they were convicted of their sins and reminded of all the times they had broken God's covenant. And so they weep. And of course, on one level, this is precisely the right reaction. But the people have not fully placed themselves in the big story of God's word, which is being read out to them. They're rightly hearing in the scriptures the story of their sin and their father's sin. But that's only half the story. They're not also hearing in the scriptures the story of their salvation. So Nehemiah and Ezra need to take some action. We read in verse 9, "Then Nehemiah the governor and Ezra the priest and scribe and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, 'This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep.'" The people also need to hear and understand what God has done to rescue them from their sin and to grasp that this time of rebuilding that they're living in is a time of fulfillment of God's promises to restore his people. And it's such a sign of his love of them despite their sin. Verse 10. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some of those, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. And do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There are many, many hymns, ancient and modern, Christian songs, that quote this wonderful line from Nehemiah, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. When I was young, you know, singing these songs, hearing them at church, what I thought is that it meant that sort of, you know, coming together to church and singing songs and getting all happy, that was our strength. We sort of, we'd sing the songs, we'd be happy, and then we'd go out into the week and we'd survive, and that was our strength. But that's not quite right, is it? That's not what Nehemiah is saying. Think about the sentence closely, and it's grammar. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That is, God's joy equals your strength. The joy that God has within himself, in the eternity of his being, and the joy that God graciously gives to you, his people, that is your strength. And when Nehemiah says that the joy of the Lord is Jerusalem's strength, the word that he uses in Hebrew is a bit richer in its meaning. He means strength as in the strength of a walled fortress on a high hill, you know, that can withstand any enemy, you know, the strength of an undefeatable refuge and sanctuary. So like the walls for the physical city of Jerusalem, the joy of the Lord is the spiritual strength of God's people. God's joy is his people's defense, both against the guilt of their sin and against the struggles and the challenges and the trials of this life. And where do we get this joy? It comes from knowing God and his love for you and what he has done for you, particularly in Jesus Christ. And you know that from the one place where God has designed it to be recorded and testified for us, which is the scriptures. And like with physical walls that rest on physical foundations, spiritual strength rests upon spiritual foundations, understanding God's word, the thing that bears witness to our salvation and how God loves us and what he has done for us. So whatever you face, you know, this afternoon or tomorrow or Monday morning, both the good things and the bad things of this life, you know, whether it be work, child raising, family, you know, or your sorrow, your pains, your stresses, your trials, the strength to keep going and the strength to withstand them is found in the joy of the Lord. The joy of knowing through God's word that in Jesus Christ, God loves you. And more than that, he doesn't just love you. He, in fact, has joy over you. He's elect people. And what's more, the same Jesus who died for your sins is returning soon to rule everything, to rule his kingdom. And the same Jesus, the greater Nehemiah, is now engaged in the great project of building the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city, which will be made of people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation, that he's forming together to be a kingdom of priests to present joyously to his Father. And that includes you. So do you have the joy of the Lord in your life? And if you don't, or maybe you don't feel like you have quite as much of it as you used to, where do you get it? Well, I said it before, I'll say it again. The joy of the Lord comes from knowing God and your place in his story. And that comes from knowing God's word by gathering around it, listening to it, and seeking to understand it. Where I live in Narrewarren, in Mustang Avenue, the curate's cottage, there's a small garden retaining wall in my front yard. And it's built on a solid foundation, sort of it's the edge of the house's concrete slab, which comes a bit out away from the house. And the wall holds back the pressure of the hill that, the hills of Narrewarren that my block's built into. But as you can see, maybe it's a bit hard with the sunlight, but the wall is slowly moving, starting to crack and lean as it gives way to the pressure of the hill. And if nothing is done, in a few years, it'll fall over. Don't worry, Mike, it's got a few years, I think, before we need to spend money on it. But that's the way it's going. Maybe in 10 years' time, it'll look like this. Over time, you've got to do maintenance on your walls. When they start to move, you've got to repair them and realign them to their foundations. And what is true of physical walls is true for spiritual walls. Is your joy in the Lord starting to lean a little bit? Then realign it to its foundation. If you're not constantly gathering around, listening to and understanding God's word, then the walls of your spiritual strength will start to give a bit against the pressures of this world, and your joy in the Lord, which is your strength, will start to cool. So maintain your walls. Because as you grow in your knowledge of God's word, you're constantly reminded, and we need this reminder every day, you're reminded of who God is and your place within God's big story. And as that happens, the joy of the Lord will grow in your heart. I know that when I'm discouraged, which is often, to be reminded by God's word, both gathering here at church around the Bible and also at home praying by myself, reading God's word, it reminds me again and again that God loves me, that I'm forgiven, my sin is gone, that I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And these things, they put the troubles and the trials and the niggles and the toil of my weeks into perspective. And it gives me joy and it gives me strength and it defends me from the pressures of this world. So, build your faith on the solid foundation of the Bible and shelter in the mighty walled fortress, which is the joy of the Lord, by continuing to gather around, listen intently to, and seek to understand God's word. Amen.